Okay, let's begin by reading again these last few verses of Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now we have been talking about the phrase in verse 28, there is neither slave nor free. And as a background to that, we've been talking about slavery. And we're going to take several sessions on this. Last time we met, we talked about slavery in ancient times. And tonight, we'll be looking for a little bit at slavery during the Middle Ages. Now, does anyone recall the classical definition of the Middle Ages?
Between the early ages and the late ages.
There you go. Between ancient times and modern times. How about that? Well, of course, you can imagine how this is. Historians never agree on where to begin one era and where to end an era. In fact, a lot of them will fight you as to whether you should even mark out eras or not at all. But the classical definition of the Middle Ages is from the fall of the Roman Empire in the West to the fall of the Roman Empire in the East, or from 476 A.D. to 1453 A.D. So, of course, the fall of the Roman Empire in the West would be the fall of Rome, when the Germans came in and took over for the last time. And the fall of the Roman Empire in the East would be when Constantinople fell to the advancing Muslims. Now, in the Middle Ages, we have a different situation in regard to slavery than existed in ancient times. Slavery occupied a far less important position in society and in the economy than it had in Roman times. However, slavery did exist during the Middle Ages, and it was reinforced from time to time by contact with the highly developed slavery that existed in the Muslim world. In addition, the rebirth or the rediscovery of Roman law during the later Middle Ages helped to shape the legal systems of the European West so that a legal provision or elaborate legal provision existed for slavery. In other words, through the adoption of the old Roman civil code by the various countries of the Middle Ages. And so the persistence of slavery in the Middle Ages, even though it was not really comparable at all to the slavery in the ancient world, set the stage for colonial slavery in the New World. Now, there's no way to really categorize slavery throughout the Middle Ages, because there were all types of slavery in existence. And the institution does not fit neatly into one single category. Of course, slaves were always on the bottom strata of society. But a few slaves occupied positions of importance and responsibility. Of course, they all suffered from the same legal disabilities, and there were gradations in their material circumstances. But if we were to pick out one category above all the others, it would have to be household service that characterized the slavery of the Middle Ages. Much of the employment of domestic slaves, of course, would be unproductive labor, as we talked about the last time we were together. If you employ a slave as a domestic servant, you reap no monetary reward from that. It's not like having a slave work in a factory, or a slave work out in the fields producing a money crop, or slaves working in a mine. And so to have a slave, a domestic slave, was really a luxury, and that's how it was looked upon. It was a sign of wealth and a sign of the status of the owner. So slaves as servants and oftentimes as gods and oftentimes as sexual partners characterized the slavery of the Middle Ages. Of course, there were exceptions. These slaves could be put to manufacturing uses even during the Middle Ages. There was manufacturing took place, mostly of the artisan type, in small shops. And these shop owners during the Middle Ages sometimes would have a few domestic slaves that they would put to work in this type of work. And, of course, they would also occasionally act as business agents. And there were even instances of state-owned slaves and military slaves. But this was very, very infrequent in medieval Europe. So small-scale slavery, in which a few slaves were added to the urban or rural households as domestics or additional workers, was characteristic of both medieval Europe and also characteristic of the Islamic world. Neither medieval Europe nor the Islamic world had what's known as gang slavery, where you had large gangs of slaves in the mines or in the fields, as existed in the Roman world and as existed in the New World, especially in the South. Now, let's talk a little bit about Islamic slavery, because Islam fits squarely within the Middle Ages. Unfortunately, it does not terminate with the Middle Ages, but it begins shortly after the beginning of the Middle Ages. Muhammad was born in 570 A.D. and died in 632 A.D. And beginning with the latter part of his life, and especially after his death, during the first century after his death, Islam expanded at a rapid pace through battle, through conquering of the neighboring countries. In fact, practically the whole of the Iberian or Spanish Peninsula was captured by Islamic people during the 8th century. The Moors were in Spain from 711 to 1492. Now, they overran the Spanish Peninsula and they were defeated in a famous battle. Anybody remember that battle? Charles Martel defeated the Moors at the Battle of Tours in 732. And from that point, Christians, the remaining Christians in Spain, began gradually to take back over the Spanish Peninsula. So it was not a matter of the Moors were in Spain from 711 to 1492, occupying the whole of the peninsula, but they were just gradually forced down of the Spanish Peninsula by Christian assault and battle until they were finally turned out totally and completely in the same year that Columbus discovered America. Now, Islamic slavery drew on pre-Islamic Arab society. There was slavery in Arab society before Muhammad came along. As we said last time, I think there was a prohibition among the Muslims of enslaving Muslims. Now, in reality, this is not something that we should flag as being a great achievement of Islam. It's really something that is characteristic of slavery wherever it has existed. And that is that people enslave outsiders. They don't enslave their neighbors, generally speaking. They enslave outsiders. And this is what the Muslims did. And it was true that Muslims were not to be enslaved, but once a person was enslaved, if they converted to Islam, they did not necessarily have to be emancipated. And for most of the Middle Ages, it was very easy for Muslims to acquire slaves, and they did so both from Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and from Europe. So there were many white slaves in Muslim countries, as well as many black slaves. In Western Europe, during the Middle Ages, there was a progressive ruralization of society, and the economy simply kind of collapsed upon itself. I'm not sure that's really known as to why there was this collapse. Of course, the collapse of the Roman Empire would be a great factor. In fact, I guess the main factor. But what about the collapse of the Roman Empire was it that forced this ruralization? I'm not sure that anyone really knows. But cities declined, and populations increasingly moved to rural estates, to manors and agricultural villages. And so as a result of this, slavery lost much of its former importance. Agricultural slavery persisted only where the government was strong enough to prevent runaways. They were simply unable to keep workers on the land if it was no governmental structure to aid in that. Also, slavery was feasible on a large scale. Agricultural slavery was feasible only when a flourishing market system allowed specialized commodities to be sold in the towns for money. And both of these conditions were uncommon in early medieval Europe. From the point of view of the lord of the manor, it was better to make the manor as self-sufficient as possible. And with the government and the economy weak, the local lords thought it was better to dispense with the use of slaves and secure a more dependable, a contented, and cheaper labor force by simply granting improved conditions to slaves and also incorporating the free peasantry into this system. So what you had was the establishment of serfdom over a period of time, gradually. And the serfs were sort of like sharecroppers, with the added custom, which eventually became almost law, that the serfs were bound to the land. They couldn't leave. Of course, they didn't want to leave because they had their own little plots there, and if they left, they left their land. Left their own, their wealth. Now, by the same token, they were not sold. They weren't considered to be chattels. They could not be sold by the lord. So they were not truly slaves, although they lived in varying conditions, some of them from time to time well off, and other, most of the time not very well off. Labor-saving devices were invented during the Middle Ages, even in the early Middle Ages, and helped to reduce the demand for slave labor. Better plows, better harnesses that permitted horses and oxen to pull heavier loads. Horseshoes were used for better traction, and water mills, and all of these things together reduced the demand for human labor. And alongside this reduction in the market demand for slaves, domestic slavery continued. And the larger manors would even have places for skilled slaves. So there was an assimilation of the formerly free and the former slaves into a more or less uniform class of serfs. The word serf, by the way, comes from the Latin for slave. But as we said, the medieval serf was far different in status from the Roman slave. And by reason of the appropriation of this word serf or slave to describe the serf, they had to come up with a new word for slave, and they used the word for Slav, which was the main source of slaves, was from the Slavic regions. Now, in the late Middle Ages, from about the 12th century through the 15th, Europe's economy continued to develop and strengthen. Slavery was still present, but agriculture was the labor of serfs or free peasants. Domestic and artisan slavery continued, particularly in Italy and in Spain. And these, of course, were the European areas that had the most contact with the Islamic world, Italy and Spain. Several late medieval developments stimulated European slavery and helped to form the background for American slavery. First were the Crusades. In the 11th century, the Crusades began, and there were established in Palestine Crusader states. And this allowed for greatly expanded commercial activity, especially by Italian merchants. And the Italian merchants were always the most active in the slave trade. And more importantly, the Europeans, during the or after the time of the Crusades, and as a result of contact with the Middle Eastern countries, developed a taste for cane sugar. They imported the cultivation of cane sugar into the southern areas of Europe, and then transported it across the Atlantic to the Caribbean. And this turned out to be one of the major demands for slavery in the modern period. In the late Middle Ages, the Europeans also recovered and assimilated Roman law. And recovery of Roman law provided the legal groundwork for modern slave codes. Another late medieval influence that heightened the use of slaves was the Black Death, which took place in the middle of the 14th century. One-fourth to one-third of the European population was killed because of the plague. And this increased the need for slavery. So slavery persisted throughout the Middle Ages in Europe. But it was a very reduced slavery. It was not something that was very much in the forefront of European medieval society. But nevertheless, it was always there and provided the legal and cultural basis for the slavery that came to exist in modern times. Okay, we'll stop there tonight. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the fact that we are one in Christ, and that in him the distinctions that have so belabored people down through the years have been done away, and that we are truly one in him. We thank you, Father, for all that he has accomplished. We especially thank you that in him we have redemption and pardon for all of our sins. We ask you to be with us through the remainder of this week, that we might in every way bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.